today.
We were going to play, but I asked her last night, and it's her fault, because she said, I think it's Monday or something.
Did you miss your chance at winning over $300 million? That's what everybody was talking about over the weekend, besides the snow. How are you? Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of this show. 17, 29, 31, 52, 53, and the Powerball number was 31. Somebody in Jersey has the ticket. No telling where in Jersey, but somebody has that ticket. They're supposed to reveal the answer to that riddle tomorrow, and then that person won't live in Jersey anymore because they'll have to move. I think there's some people that would like to move because they're tired of the snow. Spring has sprung, but not really. I mean, if you looked at the calendar, it officially is spring, but parts of Colorado, parts of Kansas had 10 to 15 inches of snow on Saturday. In Nebraska, at the southwestern part of the that state, they had 7 inches, winds 45, 50 miles an hour. And, you know, snow dumps of that amount, not that unusual. I mean, that can happen in some of those places. But this late in the game, in Pennsylvania, they're talking about, in Philadelphia, they're talking about more snow. St. Louis, 8 to 10 inches of snow. Ohio, 6 to 10 inches of snow, parts of it. Wow. New York, New Jersey, 1 to 3 inches. So, Punxsutawney Phil, what was the scoop there? I thought we were supposed to see spring. Or maybe I got that confused. One of my favorite movies is Groundhog Day, but the actual groundhog thing, the shadow, sometimes I remember what it is and sometimes I forget. I can't remember which it was this time around. But even outside of our mothership studio in lovely Minneapolis, Minnesota, Matt informed me that they'll have piles of snow. You know, when they the snow plows come in and they push the snow up in a parking lot, it's still... it's there. It's just a mountain of snow that you look over and you see. And I guess eventually that melts, but then it's a question of when it melts, does it stay there through part of the summer? So not everybody gets this amazing spring that suddenly happens. It's like you turn a corner and there it is. The flowers are everywhere and the birds are singing and it's a whole different ball game. It's kind of been a slow to start spring, very slow to start. All right, speaking of slow to start, not slow to start here is what's going on with guns and the NRA and Bloomberg. Bloomberg has a ad blitz going on all over New York talking about guns while Wayne LaPierre is doing a similar thing. $12 million on ads from Bloomie's pocket to pressure senators into backing strict new gun control measures. You know, Mayor Bloomberg, he needs a hobby. This guy needs a hobby. So he's the sugar police, the tobacco police, the salt police, the you name it, and the guy is coming up with new regulations for the people in New York City. Now he's spreading his doom and gloom to on a federal or national scope. He's trying to wield that influence, and Wayne LaPierre is having none of it. We'll let you hear what they both had to say coming up a little bit later on this hour of America Tonight. Plus, by the way, the mailbag, I got this one from Pete in Illinois, and he said, Kate, wow, sad story. I heard you talking about what happened at Quantico heading into the weekend. What's the follow-up to that? Well, the follow-up to that is the Marines said that a 25-year-old sergeant gunned down a 19-year-old and a 23-year-old, a female Lance Corporal Sarah Castromato was her name, and 23-year-old Jacob Woolley. in the barracks at Quantico, and awful. The guy, the shooter, the 25-year-old, was a teacher at a school that tests Marines who want to become officers. His specialty was machine gunner. The Kazumata was a warehouse clerk for the school. Wooly was a field radio operator and also worked with the school. And what the relationship is or the motive for the shooting, they're still being very coy on that. Is this a triangle thing, a, you know, ex-boyfriend? It certainly seems that way, but that hasn't been verified at this point. But very sad to see that happen on the base. And, you know, this is the premier training base, so that's how they must have all come across each other, as I just described. And it's too bad, unfortunately. Coming up with the Supreme Court, some key gay marriage cases have now hit the Supreme Court level. And, you know, when I say that, we knew this was coming, but now it's up to the people in the robes to have the two cases have huge potential to actually redefine marriage in this nation. The arguments are coming at a time where even Republicans are rethinking how they feel about gay marriage. So it's on Wednesday, they're weighing the difference of the Defense of Marriage Act, considering a provision that defines marriage as between a man and a woman for the purpose of deciding who can get federal benefits. And the California case, because there's another one, the California case, which happens on Tuesday, is Prop 8, the ban on same-sex marriage. And that would be huge, depending on the ruling there. The judges, if they ruled pretty broadly on this, would overturn every state constitutional provision and law banning same-sex marriages, or they could uphold California's ban and continue to leave it up to the states. So if they uphold the California thing, and then they would, so then that would be up to the states. I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to duck that. I don't think they're going to overturn it, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's crazy. You're not really sure. It happens sometimes with Roberts, you know, remember last time around. So I could be wrong. If I'm handicapping this, I'm thinking that's not going to happen there. And then the other case, the Defense of Marriage Act, I don't know, that I wouldn't be surprised if that was a yay across the board. So proponents of gay marriage are asking for the judges to deny the people of the states the right to decide what marriage is in their state, what it is, what's the definition of marriage. And it's interesting the way this court case, or the way these two cases actually set up, getting all the way finally to the top of the towers, I say. So what they decide will have far-reaching effects. And some Republicans have been crossing into the pro-gay marriage side. So with that happening, there's more of a push on this. Even Senator Rob Portman, Republican from Ohio, reversed his position after his son came out as being gay. So there's been a strange shift in some cases. Stay with us.
Prepared against possible food shortages and economic collapse is not complicated. Just remember two words, disaster, stuff. Add.com after those two words and you've got just one site for all your preparedness needs. DisasterStuff.com prepares your family against food shortages with Linden Farms freeze-dried foods in buckets or Gourmet Reserves freeze-dried food in number 10 cans, both with free shipping. Purify and rid your water of contaminants with a Big Berkey or other Berkey system and get free shipping, plus a water level spigot or fluoride filter at cost. And protect your radios and other electronics from EMPs with our EMP Faraday bags, starting at just $5.90. When the food shortages and economic instability happens, be ready with all your stuff from DisasterStuff.com. Just remember two words, DisasterStuff.com. Freedom through self-reliance and personal responsibility.
Hi, this is John O'Toole with Midas Resources Gold and Silver Company. We have all heard of Rand Paul warning of an imminent currency crisis as a result of reckless spending on Capitol Hill and endless wars overseas. But what are we doing to prepare for it? China, India, and numerous other countries are buying up gold and silver by the ton because they know what's really going on. Don't you think it's time you do the same thing before it's too late? Call me, John O'Toole, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 133, and find out why gold and silver have been the true safe havens for over 5,000 years. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133. I'll send you a booklet highlighting 10 reasons why gold and silver are the only way to preserve your purchasing power. Again, that's 1-800-686-2237, extension 133.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
That I am a huge fan of Halloween, and also talking about things that happen with witches. There's something about the history of witches, I guess because I went to Salem, Massachusetts, and saw and read about some of the things way back when that were going on there. But we're going beyond that with Barbara Wade Rose, who wrote a book called The Priest, the Witch, and the Poltergeist. Sounds scary. Sounds intriguing, doesn't it? Barbara, thanks for jumping on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Now, just last month in New Guinea, there was a woman who admitted to practicing witchcraft. She was, if I'm right about this, was tortured and killed because of the accusations that her practicing witchcraft was responsible for the death of a young boy, and that made some, it made some pop nationally. People started talking about it a little bit. That's a true story, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And shocking though it is, and it's something that you didn't think would happen in this day and age.
Yeah, and you've investigated this. I mean, you're a journalist and you've dug into the background here. So what is it, it is shocking. How do they, are they burning a witch here? Is it because, is it a tribal custom? Is it just the difference of their lifestyle versus what we think in the United States? I mean, how is this possible, burned at the stake?
I think when you have witchcraft, not witchcraft so much, but a witch persecution going on nowadays, it has to do with it being terribly entrenched in a culture that people have the power to do bad things or to make hexes, as they used to be called. And I think that's what was going on here. In fact, Oxfam and the United Nations are very concerned about some cultures in Papua New Guinea and in Africa and some other countries, most of which are countries that are not as developed as some others and who believe in this kind of a hexing power and seek to rob so-called witches of their power. If you think about it, the case of that schoolgirl, Malala Yousafzai in Pakistan, was very similar to a case of witchcraft because she was advocating that girls learn at school, which seems like an ordinary thing to you and me and a great thing. But to the people who shot her, she was practicing something powerful and frightening to them.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Powerful and frightening, the things we don't know. So, see, you notice how in the beginning I was talking about the light fair, that what we think of witches, but this is serious stuff. And, you know, practicing witches, I guess, what they have to do is, and what you're saying is, they would have to educate the public and kind of stand up and be heard that this is no joke, and but this is what this means, right?
Yes, but it's like there are lots of societies that have witches or Wiccans, as some of them are called, today, but those are witchcraft-practicing societies where if a witch goes to trial, they're advocating for the right to a statutory holiday, for example, or for, you know, for use of a public park. Totally different than witches who are trying to stand up for their right not to be burned at the stake. I'm sorry, that's not funny. I shouldn't put it that way. But,
right.
And the witch in my story is the only witch in history, as far as we know, that actually did so. He was being persecuted by a priest in Normandy in 1850 for what the priest thought was causing a poltergeist. And this poltergeist is on record as being one of the loudest ever heard of. And the priest beat him up, and the witch said, fine, I'll see you in court.
Well, how did you come across that story?
Well, I was waiting for a root canal at my dentist's office, and I picked up a book and just was leafing through it, and it was about the paranormal, and why he had that in his office, I have no idea, and discovered the story of the Cedarville witch trial. And the courage of this witch, a male witch, an outsider, he was a shepherd as well, to stand up to that kind of persecution really moved me.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. And there it was for something like a root canal, and you came across that, and then it blossomed into that novel. In talking about witchcraft, and I guess we came around to this in the very beginning of our conversation, but what is it? It's just the fear of the unknown, do you think, that why witchcraft is so feared throughout history?
I think that's true, and I think it's also connected to a lack of understanding of how natural phenomena happened. I don't know the facts behind the case in Papua New Guinea. It's surmised that it happened because of what happened to the little boy. But if people don't know that an illness could be caused or just happen and that a boy can die, they want something to blame, someone to blame in their absolute agony. And it's very hard for them to see that it can be just happenstance.
Yeah, boy, that's true. Looking at another place to go with it. What's the reaction been so far to your book, which, by the way, people can pick up on Amazon?
Well, we've had a great reaction to the actual story, because every major thing that happens in my novel actually happened in history, and then I used the novel format to add to give it sort of an imaginary life. And we've also come out with an ebook that where you can hear the sounds of the poltergeist as you're reading, and we thought that would make it extra fun.
Yeah. Do you think there's been debates about souls and what happens to souls? Do you think that that's part of the deal? There's people that are trapped, or there's souls and, you know, in future generations, or somebody that comes back, or what do you think about all that?
I think it's very intriguing. Mm. And I think it's for me personally, it's something I love to read about, and I have an open mind, but it's my imaginative open mind, and it would be great, not trap souls, but it'd be great to visit with people you loved, but it's not happened to me yet.
Yeah, there you go. Who knows? That could be the subject of another book, perhaps. Do you think that witches ever, as you were mentioning Wiccans, do you think witches would ever fully be accepted as that? That's just another, you know, group of people.
Well, I think in countries like England, England is very accepting of all kinds of different people, and I hear Wiccans flourish there because of the Stonehenge culture, so to speak. Maybe.
That's true. Maybe. Because of what happened in Papua New Guinea, has there been more attention focused on, ooh, let's make sure this doesn't happen again? Because certainly if it happened with this woman, it could happen, obviously, to other people who are practicing witchcraft there.
Yes. Well, what Oxfam is hoping for is that they will criminalize accusations of sorcery or witchcraft instead of conceding that witchcraft might exist, so that it would become something where you turn the tables on the accusers.
Yeah. Did you, I mentioned that I had been to Salem, and it was scary that how many people that were just labeled witches that were not practicing any kind of witchcraft. Their families swore to that, but they were burned at the stake. We burned a lot of people at the stake, didn't we?
Yes, and I've always been most moved by the story of that man who had all the weight put on his chest, the stone put on his chest, and asked for more weight. He was so courageous, and there's so many stories of courage involved in witchcraft and witches as well.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Are witches? We're talking about ages of witches, young, older, no, across the board demographics.
Very much so, because in some cultures, in some cases, a woman is persecuted as a witch because she is old. Just for that very reason, and a woman can be persecuted as a witch because she's young and because she's a threat to certain people in the community because of her youth. So yes, you're right. It's across the board.
Yeah. How about and witches primarily just women, right? Because it's warlocks or something else if it was a guy, I guess.
Yeah. And that's an explanation I have to give every time I'm talking about my book, The Priest, the Witch, and the Poltergeist, because my courageous witch was a man. I don't think there was any particular link between his courage and his gender, but and he was an odd guy, just as women who are persecuted as witches are odd too. We just are uncomfortable with things that are different, and we shouldn't be.
Did you do that on purpose, make the witch a man?
Nope, he was.
That was just a story, yeah.
And it makes the struggle between him and the priest a little more interesting, too.
All right, get it at Amazon. The Priest, the Witch, and the Poltergeist. Barbara, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNLive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNLive.com.
UtopiaSilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
About this all the time. What do you do when you're in situations where you have to survive? You know, we even just heard that about the story of the 9-year-old girl who made her way from a car accident where her father had been killed through kind of a wooded area and eventually got help, but she had to get through the brush. She had to figure out how to climb up the hill, all this kind of stuff. But we're talking even beyond that. Other things that you'll need should you be stranded like she was, but even deeper in. We hear this all the time with snow and other acts of Mother Nature where people are trapped, and sadly, so often, they die because they don't know how to survive. So joining us on the show to give us some survival skills, Apocalypse 101, that's what he calls it, Mike Kozlowski. Mike, Apocalypse 101 isn't like other survival shows, because I should say this is a show, and that's part of the deal here, learning these survival skills, isn't it?
Exactly. What we try to do is talk to the person one-on-one, just like your neighbor, someone you might know from school or work. And, you know, you kick ideas around, but you never take action on it. So we try to talk with the folks that come into our shop and say, hey, I have an interest in this, or I'm kind of seasoned. Can you guys give me some feedback? And so Apocalypse 101 is just that. It's the basic elementary level to being ready for survival. There's a thousand things you can do and a bunch of different ways to do it, but we think these are pretty interesting.
And we should say this, too, for people looking for Mike on the show. He's a non-active duty Marine, served 2 tours in Iraq. Thanks so much for that, for your service. After 9/11, he left his position with the Bush administration to actually hook up with Marines. and now is the owner of Forge Survival Supply with other members of Apocalypse 101. That's part of the team. And you can catch the show on National Geographic Channel Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Mike, you know, here's the thing that people, somebody just asked me this the other day, and you know the answer to this. What is a bug out bag and why do we need it?
Okay. Bug out bag is a prepper's term or someone who tries to be prepared to have one bag that if they say, hey, you got 10 seconds to go, you're not scrambling to think, all right, where's my toothpaste, where's my gun, and how do I get out of my house? That bag is ready to go, that if that's the only thing you had to take, you could throw it in your car, put it on your back, and walk out your front door and be able to have a reasonable chance to succeed in living if you had to walk away from life as you know it.
Do you think everyone should have one?
I think everyone has to have one based on their environment. There's not a one-size-fits-all solution. If you've got a family, you've got kids, you should have something in the car that can pacify them for a while if you're stuck in a snowbank, if you run out of gas, something that's going to be more mainstream. If you're really looking to quote another show on National Geographic Channel, Doomsday Prepper, you can have it to an entire lifestyle change. But I think to some degree, everyone should be prepared for the internet to go down for a while, not to have clean water for a while, not to have electricity for a while, to where our creature comforts is not going to be able to pacify us, and we actually have to talk to one another and be able to have some sense of security, some sense of safety, and also be able to eat and drink something to make it through times that may be challenging.
Yeah. Along those same lines, what survival tools do we have to have, do you have for defense, for food, and shelter?
You know, it's going to be based on your capability. All of us on Apocalypse 101, you know, are Marines. I spent a lot more time in than the other three have, but all three of us have been trained the same to where we're comfortable around weapons, firearms, knives. Not everybody's going to have that same level of comfort. Whether it's just they've never been trained appropriately or have a philosophical difference on what they might be comfortable with or should have, they should have something, whether it's bear spray, a knife, paintball gun, or all the way through a weapon to where you're armed and you're carrying and you could defend yourself and your family and your property. So the number one thing is having a comfort level with your security and what you're able to do to defend yourself and your loved ones.
Yeah. Do you personally have a getaway plan? I mean, this is probably a stupid question. I'm sure you do, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I have. The way I look at it is you should have something for the short term. The majority of us right now in the world see there's regional events. There's snowstorms. There's hurricanes. There's, natural disasters that are regional that are going to temporarily cause you problems, delay your way of life. So I'm prepared for that. You would call it a bug-in type scenario, that you're really not going to go anywhere. But you should have a way that you're going to transition to something regionally, that you can go away from where your normal day-to-day livelihood takes you. And then you should be thinking beyond that. If I have to move permanently from where I am, whether it's another state, another continent, onto a boat, you may want to be thinking along those lines. Again, that gets away from the Apocalypse 101 theme and moves towards the Doomsday Prepper theme, which, again, worst-case scenario, there's an entire financial collapse of the entire world and everything comes to a screeching halt for an unknown period of time. You may need to leave where you currently are and move to somewhere where you know you can live off the grid by yourself with your loved ones and be able to maintain your health, your sanitation, and your sanity.
Yeah. Talking about going from off the grid to what you'd have to do in that situation, here's a big one, and this happens to people, and they panic, and they have no clue what to do. What do you tell people for home invasion?
Well, for home invasions, you've got to make yourself a hard target. If you're leaving your doors open, your windows open, and assuming it won't happen to you, it probably will. A few years back, my then-pregnant wife, first pregnancy, walked in on a burglary at my parents' house while they were out of the country. And that was the first time they had been burglarized, but it's also the first time in 20 years we didn't have a dog. And so that made us my parents a softer target. Again, then you start to ramp up. You get a home security system. You know, you put up extra fences. You can do some passive things so you can still have a pleasant-looking homestead, but also know that you're making yourself a hard target. You don't tell people when you're leaving. Again, I'm a big social media guy. I've worked in it for quite a while, but you can't post every time you're gone from your homestead because then people realize you're gone. And so some of it's a little bit of common sense. I think, again, going back to what I said earlier, and with our Apocalypse 101 theme, it's a basic item of security. What are you comfortable with? Is it a firearm and being able and be willing to take someone's life who might be coming into your house? You know, how much are you prepared to do? But you can eliminate that as an option because no one wants to have to do that by being a hard target.
Yeah. Was your wife able to get out of that situation? That's terrible.
She was. She had gone in and turned on the washing machine to change her clothes for the day, and she thought she heard something. And ultimately, she called me and said, hey, were you at the house? She explained a few things, and I said, I don't think that's quite right. Get the clothes back on, get out of the house, and I talked her right through, making sure that I knew she was out of the house. I sped home from where I was and ultimately found them in the alley, but I couldn't tell that was the ones who had been in the house, so I walked the police onto their position, and ultimately they caught them, and it had been some juveniles who had been raiding houses in our hometown for about the last 3 weeks, and the police didn't have any leads, and so ultimately we got them, and she was fine.
Yeah, good for you. You got them.
Well, and I got to tell you, I, in Iraq, I didn't get enough of the bad guys, and so to be able to get these guys here in our own country was awesome. I just wish I'd have got them myself.
I love that. We explain to people, too, that, I mean, the show, the whole premise is so awesome. You look at these, what we're just talking about here, various situations, don't you, and you evaluate people's abilities to survive.
Correct. On Apocalypse 101, when we first started talking about this with the producers who came to us and said, hey, we want to do a show, I thought, you know, what makes us different from Doomsday Prepper? And what we found was that there was an interest in having, you know, how do you get to be a Doomsday Prepper? Well, you got to start with the 101 level classes like you take in college. You start with your basics first. And so what we did is we talked to a lot of different people. Some were novices, some were medium, some had some advanced training, but didn't know certain techniques. And so what we did is we have them come into the store. Someone says, hey, I've got a bug out bag. They pull out what they have in their bag. They may have a cotton blue leisure suit that they're wearing for comfort because it keeps them warm. Somebody had big rat traps because they knew that might catch them game, which we thought was a fantastic idea. And what we do is we break down what they are planning to do and what they want to accomplish, and we help provide them the products, and then we give them the knowledge of how to implement those tools, the number one tool being the item between your ears, just above your mouth, your brain, and engaging your brain to know what makes common sense and how to act. And so that's the biggest piece of knowledge that we're passing to these people. We try to keep it interesting. You know, we can sit here and talk all day, but if you put that on TV, it's not interesting. So we try to engage some humor. We go out and in the field and actually practical applications, some of these ideas that we're working on with them, like physical security, making a Faraday cage, going out and shooting weapons. Some people had never shot weapons before, but they knew they wanted to be introduced to it. So we go out in a safe learning environment, teaching some of the basics and help them build from there.
Mike Kozlowski, just good stuff there. Apocalypse 101 is on the National Geographic Channel Tuesdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. Good stuff. Michael, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kate. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
The Freeze Dry Guy wants your attention for very good reason. Going on right now, the Freeze Dry Guy has assembled the Necessities Unit, a unit package of survival food basics no family should be without, with big survival buck savings. Our Necessities Unit includes Mountain House eggs, green peas, and banana slices, plus dehydrated milk, butter, and cheese, all packed in six heavy-duty enameled number 10 cans with a proven 25 to 30-year shelf life. Now, the best part, buy one Necessities Unit case for only $203 and get 20% back in survival bucks. Buy two cases at $406, get 25% back in survival bucks. And buy three cases at just $609 and get 30% back in survival bucks. Only from freezedryguy.com and only through the end of the month. While supplies last, prices include free shipping to the lower 48. To order, call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com. The Freeze Dry Guy, the standard for survival.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Sugarfoot called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah.
The world situation when it comes to euros and what does that do to our dollar and why should we be concerned. I've actually been talking about this since the day I jumped on the air here in America Tonight. So excited in the wings to welcome Chris Duane to the show. He's an economic expert who's looking at this Cyprus thing just the way I am. What I was concerned about is, are we going to see bank runs in the euro? So Chris, I don't understand why this isn't being talked about more. When it first broke, I thought, oh, no, here we go again. Even with the little bit of the bailout, that bailout's not going to hold, is it?
No. Listen, all these things are just delaying the day of reckoning. And the reason why no one wants to talk about it is because they're scared about what it means. Our entire life is based off of this, you know, ever-increasing debt situation. It's completely unsustainable. This is generations that have accrued, and it's starting to come due. And quite honestly, I'm surprised that we haven't had the big one yet. We're 5 years past the 2008 crisis, which was an institutional crisis, you know, Lehman Brothers and AIG. And all those institutions got bailed out by big sovereign nations. And that's where the problem is now. It's at the sovereign nation level. And it's the currencies and the way our entire world functions, and it's unsustainable.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason why people don't want to talk about it. It's a scary subject.
Yeah, I agree. And so what about the U.S. dollar? You know, people go back and forth over the U.S. dollar, and, of course, it depends on your interest, as I always say. But do you believe that the dollar is in danger of collapsing?
Yes, but it's going to be dramatically different than what's going on in Cyprus. One thing that people have to understand about this euro crisis, Greece, Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Cyprus, all these nations do not print their own currency, and they're held hostage by the European Central Bank that controls the currency. And what has been happening in all those European nations is that they're suffering from a deflation where there's actually real wealth being sucked out of those nations in order to sustain ever-increasing debts. You know, whenever the banks get bailed out, they don't really get bailed out. It's not like free money that comes to them. It's more debt that gets lumped onto them in longer terms. What the United States is going to have is going to be quite unlike what's going on in Europe. And I believe that at the end of the day of the dollar, it's going to be a hyperinflationary crash. And it still gets you to the same place of just utter destruction, but it's a different way of going about doing it. Whereas wealth is sucked out and there's less money in the system, and it becomes harder and harder to earn money and pay back debts, as we're seeing in Europe. The United States is going to have a difference because we print our own currency. So the government and the Federal Reserve will continue to print more and more money, trying to, you know, create larger deficits in order to keep the sustained system going and bailing out all their banker buddies. And more money is going to start chasing after a less amount of goods. And you'll see prices increase gradually at first, then a little bit faster, and then all of a sudden there'll be a collapse, because not because prices are going up, but the value of those dollars will be going down. And you need more dollars to buy the exact same amount of goods.
Yeah, the quantitative easing, I tried to explain to people how we print mad money. So you did it beautifully. In Europe, that's not the case, but here the difference is what's going on with the Federal Reserve. I call it monopoly money because really we don't have anything backing it up, do we?
No, it's been a process. I mean, the Federal Reserve is a privately owned bank, and people can go look this up. There's very many books written about this. The government doesn't issue their own currency. They're in debt towards the people that own the Federal Reserve, and it's a privately held banking cartel. And they got this great deal back in 1913 where they got the monopoly currency of the United States, and they're the issuers of it. It's not, you know, United States Treasury that's on the back of those things. They're Federal Reserve notes, and they're notes of debt. It is monopoly money, and they slowly detached from real money. We used to have a gold-backed and silver-backed currency. In fact, paper money used to be just a certificate, like a claim check you would get at a dry cleaner saying, hey, we have real money on deposit, and here's this claim check. You used to look at silver certificates and gold certificates. It said, pay, upon the bearer, you know, five silver dollars or 20 gold dollars. And over time, over this period, we've been slowly detached from the real wealth of gold and silver. And replaced with, at first, paper money, and now, you know, 97% of the dollars that are out there are just electronic digits. So it is worse than monopoly money because it doesn't even exist in most cases.
Do you think we need to go back to the gold standard? Do you think that's what happens?
I think that's what they want. I think that at the end of the day, they're going to, these bankers know that this is a completely unsustainable system, and they will roll out the gold standard as an answer. And I believe that's the only thing worse than this. Because it'll be another monopoly currency. What we need to have, and what made the United States most prosperous, is competition in currency. And I was actually involved in Ron Paul's last congressional hearing where I wrote the testimony for one of the witnesses. And we suggested that the government stay out of this business and let the free market decide. So, my personal preference is silver, but I believe that at the end of the day, after the dollar collapses, you'll see a rise of state currencies, local currencies, commodity-backed currencies, time currencies, all sorts of different forms of money, as humanity says, hey, you know, we're going to continue living and continuing valuing things. And I think that's where people are going to notice that. You're seeing this in Greece. My wife's family's from Greece, and they're coming up with their own local currencies and barter networks to make do for where there is no euros to be had.
Do you think, how long do you think this takes, Chris? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball and I don't either, and I've been talking about this for a long time too. But could we be talking about a couple decades? Could we be talking about way sooner than that?
Oh, no. No, this won't go on that long. Like I said, the institutional crisis happened in 2008. Whenever it does happen, this next crisis, it's going to be the big one because it's at the sovereign nation level. It is, you know, it's not Lehman Brothers, it's Greece, it's not AIG, it's, you know, Japan. Japan's going through a major inflationary problem right now with their Prime Minister Abe, who's been devaluing the yen. All these currencies are trying to, you know, print more money to gain competition over the other currencies. And at the end of the day, everybody's a loser, whether you're a saver, whether you're an earner, you're losing your wealth. And the only way to get out of this is to get your paper money, your stocks, your bonds, anything that has counterparty risk, and get into real assets. And I don't care if it's gold, silver, food. Heck, Beanie Babies are going to be a better investment at the end of the day, because at least it has some tangible value. You can touch it, feel it, hold it, hug it. It will have some value versus some digit sitting in a bank account. But to answer your question, no. There's no way we make it out of this decade without major upheaval in everything that we know. I mean, if the dollar goes, I mean, that's the basis of our politics, our finances, our business, our world economy, and if we're honest with each other, probably even our love relationships. You know, if I don't bring home the bills, you know, the wife is not going to be happy. Well, if I can't feed the children, that's even going to be even harder. So this is a major scenario, and I implore people not to run from this, but to embrace it, because I believe that if you can get ahead of the curve and start thinking about this and preparing, you're going to be in a far better scenario than just to kind of remain blind to it.
Well, I mean, what about, you know, you gave some great examples, put it in something else. What about even land? I mean, if people that, you know, that used to be the thing, hey, not about owning your house, but about a chunk of land here and there, would that still have value?
Sure. I'm not, like, for example, like, I have a mortgage on my house.
Right.
I think property relative to, say, gold or silver is still highly overvalued relative to them. Mainly because we have, you know, what are interest rates now on a 30-year mortgage? Like 3.9% financing?
Yeah,
I mean, and we still have an economy. We still have people earning. We still have confidence in there. What happens when we do have the next economic crisis? We have the next wave of layoffs. We have higher interest rates because no one has capital to loan. Maybe the 30-year mortgage isn't available. What then becomes the cash value of your house? And I can tell you what, it's going to be dramatically less. I'm not saying that, you know, having real estate isn't a form of protecting your wealth. I just think relative to gold and silver and, you know, other commodities, that you're far better off putting it into those and waiting for a collapse and then maybe coming in later and saying, hey, I have X amount of ounces. I did a video talking about how the Louisiana Purchase, the United States bought from France, you know, millions upon millions of acres in the Louisiana Purchase, and it worked out to 45 acres of land for 1 ounce of silver. You know, I don't think we're going to get to that kind of ratio, but I do think that I can make a strong case that in a collapse where there is no currency and dollar, that we could get to a scenario where 1 ounce of silver could be worth an acre of empty land. And that's something that I think would be a much better use of putting your assets in.
All right, great advice. Chris Duane, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Gardeners, here comes another growing season, but don't use last year's soil. Maximize yields in your survival garden with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 is an organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant that provides a broad spectrum of beneficial microorganisms, enzymes, trace minerals, vitamins, and various organic acids. EM1 helps regulate the soil's pH level and its soil microbes, improving moisture retention and drought tolerance. Remember last year's dry conditions? EM1 from Terraganics is safe, chemical-free, and certified for use on all organic farms. It improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, and gives up to 20% more nutrient value in fruits and vegetables, and greatly increases shelf life. And EM1 is so simple to use, just mix with water and apply. This year, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.